But I want to speak to you. Romans 12, verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now that's not difficult for me. Reach that age where there's nothing. Don't need anything. Nothing impresses anymore. I do not have to have. So that means you young folks and middle age, this is going to be more along your lines as a warning, where Paul said, be not conformed to the world. Would you bow with me as we seek our Father's face? My Father, all Scripture was given by inspiration. Holy men penned words as directed by the Holy Ghost. All is needful and beneficial . We will be called into an account of how we lived, our actions, our words, Lord, everything about us. We've heard about the Lord Jesus. My Father, He did not die for any, for them to live a life of to self, pleasing the old natural man. Neither did He die for any that will never yield obedience, full, complete, total surrender. And Lord, sometimes that cuts across the grain of our living. There are things we want to do, we want to try, we want to have, we want to look like, and yet to do so is dishonoring to the very name of a Christian. Father, I pray that You might give these hearing ears. Let them not get to a place that they shut out the message. Or we all will give an account, I as to how I declared it and my motive, and these as to how they received it and their deeds following, either in obedience or in rebellion. I pray that You might help us, Lord, for if there's ever been a time that the community, our town, people around us need to see what a Christian is and how a Christian lives, it is this day. Great multitudes say they are Christians, But there's not any difference in their life and that of a worldly, lost, unsaved person. Father, it ought not to be. You loved, you gave, Christ Jesus loved to die. Loved the people enough that no cost was too high. And Lord, help that we do not claim to be a Christian, yet our words, our actions, our life in the public has a different message. My Father, give us the Spirit of God. Clear utterance, wisdom, and direction, that all that is done might be to Thy glory, and it might be to the edification, the instruction, the reproof, the rebuke, or exhortation. In Christ's name, we ask these things. I'm trying to find another one, and I won't ask you to turn to it, but Romans 12, last week, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's all that I intend on looking at this morning. And hopefully, the Lord sparing, and we get back next time on, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Peter said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of living, all lifestyles. Be ye holy. Now the first thing in verse 2 here is that of a negative. Be not conformed. And then he goes to the positive later on, but be ye transformed. The Industrial Revolution that came along, there was what's called the peppered moth. You may have seen one. There are not many left anymore. But in Britain and Ireland, that was their habitat. And when coal started to be burned and industry using these things to mass produce, that black and white moth became darker in color until it no longer had any spots. And the scientists in that day, they all raved about the discovery. Darwin's theory of evolution is proved by the change that we have seen in the peppered moth. Well, the moth did not become a different animal. or anything higher than a moth. It remained a moth. But because of the change of its color, it was easily a prey for those whose diet consisted in these insects. And it almost would die out. And so there's been an evolution period, we shall say, in religion. And in the same manner as the peppered moth having its color changed because of the environment, so in this manner, the world slowly draws people into it, into its mold, and over decades it conforms them into its very image. Now, if you will forgive me this illustration, I realize that it's not one of good taste, simply because of the deaths that came about because of COVID. And because many were affected in their families by death, though the number was exaggerated greatly. A mother in New York whose grandson drowned in the pool, and they rushed him as quickly as they could, his dad and his granddad, while they were there, to the hospital. And on his death certificate, they put he died because of COVID. And they went back and they confronted the administrator of the hospital, and he said, "Well, we just about have to do that these days." That's not the only one. It was all over. And because of the many lies, the false information of those in high places, this is not a good illustration, but it's the best I could do. Supposing that an insect, by the way, you always get these little pop-ups. Anytime you get on web or now on your phones, and the head of the World Health Organization is predicting another pandemic greater than COVID, and it's just called X. And it's going to hit, taking out billions. Well, back here, there's this little insect that has invaded North America and the other continents. It cannot be detected because it looks just like the insects that are common to the area in which this one has invaded. It does not have to sting you. It does not sting at all. If it just lights on your clothing or on your body, it emits a deadly poison. There are no immediate symptoms. But we've heard of those that died because of this, and on their deathbed, a horrific account was given by them passing into eternity. No one talked about the bright lights that they saw when they died, as they were dying. They did not see a green meadow, trees along the sides of a flowing stream, flowers are scattered all through the area. No, everybody that is dying of this reports a lake of burning fire. A horrible death. From just a little contamination. And you can apply that to the world now. A horrible, horrible death. But then we were told that if you begin experiencing some of these symptoms, in our state there are 6 locations that have the antidote to this killing, going to kill millions upon millions. And for all of us here in central Alabama, it's over in the next county, Clay County. Now you're thinking, well, that's only a short drive, 15 miles from here at best, or 25 to 50, depending on where you live. So you do not worry about getting there. Well, I take that away from you, because the bridge crossing Lake Martin there on Highway 48 is out. You can't go that way. And then you say, well, I'll just drive up US 431 till 9 intersects and I'll come back down to Clay County on that. No, that road's closed too. And you end up having to go all the way to Birmingham, back down to Montgomery, and coming up on the other side to Clay County. That's too far. Some of the roads might be a little dangerous because of traffic. Me in a hurry to get there. I'll just put it off. I've just got too busy a life to be concerned about a drive that distance. Got more important things that I need take care of instead of be worrying about an insect. Well, it's not an insect that I'm talking about here. But I remind you of our religious world, where just about everybody in America has been told, every church has been given a cure for the local pastor to dispense to all that get there. The travel there is not far. There's churches on every street corner. The road smooth. No delays, no hindrance in getting there. And so goes the gospel in our day. Anytime that you want to, anytime that you choose, you can get to Christ. After all, you heard this morning that the one requirement is belief. And that's a fact. That's true. But you can't. You can't believe, not as a sinner. You are dead. Folks say, well, just believe. That's all that's required of you. Repent and believe. Both are gifts of God. Both. And to the Gentiles, God granted repentance. And faith originates in Christ and runs back to Him when God brings life in your soul. Well, the gospel today out there, different than the gospel declared in this book, and it's different than the one that was preached for years, years and years of bygone years. The path is straight. There is but one door. It is narrow. Only one person at a time can get saved. You're thinking about the times when, or read about the times when there was revivals in America. And a large number were saved in one meeting, hundreds upon hundreds, that they all got there on an individual basis. No one there was concerned or knew anything about what was happening to the person sitting beside. They just knew what was taking place in their own heart. Door. You got to be into everything there. And no one's delivered from the serpent's deadly venom apart from the way and the door. And I repeat again, belief and faith is the gift of God. Dear ones, if ever life which always ends in death, then you, as an awakened, guilty sinner, you will let nothing deter you from getting to the right place under the right gospel and finding help. And you will be as Bunyan's pilgrim, putting his fingers in his ears to stop up his family's cry, "Come back. We need you." Family won't matter. Friends won't matter. This is a matter of life and death. Eternally living or eternally dying. And to every child of God that is brought through the door, then as they begin to develop, here comes this: do not let this old world conform you to its standards. For it has a silent but deadly poison affecting everybody that is ensnared in it. It does not come with any warning labels. As you sit there and they are blaring the commercials in front of your face, you're thinking it does not affect you in any way. But it does. But they do not give warnings like they would if they were advertising a new medicine or new drug. It does this for you, but it's got some bad symptoms also. But of the world, you take me and my goods at your own risk. Oh no. It never warns you like that. Take me, buy me, and it will improve your life. It will raise your standing in society All you need is me. And whether you intended on that ever, that commercial ever bothering you or not, there's a good possibility that unless you are a very disciplined person, you walk down the aisle of whatever store and without thinking, you just put it in your buggy. But nothing was said of the danger of that kind of shopping. Now, I've only got two other places for you to turn with me this morning. The first is 1 John, over towards the end of your Bible, you young ones. 1 John. If you have the least concern for your soul, you have a concern for your Bible and a need for it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. John gave you the three avenues of sin. If you want to go back to the very beginning, when the serpent there was pointing out a fruit, the lust of the flesh, no doubt it was a beautiful tree, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when Achan went in, and the warning of Joshua, who spoke for God, don't take anything out of that city. It's totally given over to complete destruction. The only thing that you can bring out will be the gold and the silver that can endure the fire. But Achan sees a Babylonish garment, the lust of the eyes. And Achan thinks that would be lovely on my wife. The lust of the flesh. And that would put her in a garment that few, if any, ever had one like it. The pride of life. And Achan not only lost his life, but he lost the life of his wife and of his children. You run the risk when the world controls the lust of the flesh, young folks. The lust of the eyes, middle age. And the pride of life, old age. And children daily, when the world manifests its styles, its habits, its language, you were never told that that might include death or that that might be dangerous. Maybe you were like Achan. Well, Joshua stood and he said, you've got tonight, rest of the day and tonight to get this right. And we will proceed in the morning with finding who this man or persons were. That have defiled Israel. And Achan's sitting there in his house and he's thinking, well, it was just a couple of wedges of gold and a few shekels of silver. There are probably other people too. And maybe others got something for their wife. I didn't do anything more than what others may have done. But as the night passed on, he continued to tell himself, all is okay. You will be forgiven. Others will be forgiven. And he gets up the next morning and the family, or the tribe, I should say, the tribe is pointed out by the lot. 1 in 12. And then the family was taken. Lots of families. Lots of people in a family. And he kept on till he got down to the household. Until the man was taken. You've got today. You might have tomorrow. Do not count on it. You might grow up and be a middle-aged boy or girl. Growing into a man and a woman. You can't think of it like that. You are responsible to God this day. And because that man did not heed the warnings of Joshua, the noose kept tightening and tightening until he was caught in it and all of his family. Language of the world does not say anything to you that will cost you stripes on your back or greater discipline. No, no. You're looking at those commercials. You know what subliminal is, don't you? That's when something silently runs across your mind that you weren't even thinking about. I told you about the experiment many decades ago that in one of the frames of the motion picture, they emptied by a subliminal message of a soft drink and popcorn. They emptied the theater and all of them went out. Now that's not supposed, it's supposed to be against the law. But we don't know. But you are affected. But the world says, by me. You'll be the only one that has this dress or this suit. You'll be the only one that has these tennis shoes. Boys, I know you do not want to stick out from your friends. I understand that. Being a boy, I know. But isn't it something that a pair of shoes can run from $200 to $900? And they sell them in third world countries for $10. They know by advertising that you will talk mom and dad into getting you one. The fashions of the day, well, you got to keep up with me. You must be concerned about what others think of you, and especially your children. And that's why retailers spend throughout the year billions upon billions of dollars. I meant to have looked up and seen what a 30-second ad would cost this year in the Super Bowl, but I didn't. But it'll be many millions of dollars for 30 seconds of time. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get their product before your eyes, and you're sitting there thinking, that's not going to affect me. It's up in your head. You don't recognize it. You've never had the thought. There's something in your head when you walk by that chef that yells at you, get me. I will make you more attractive. Buy me. This will make you look 50 years younger. Try me. If you just follow the fashions of the day, then your status in life will be raised. And all it's doing is feeding the pride which is within every one of us. That doesn't affect, I don't think, my generation as much as it does you under me and you under them. You know what David said? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works. I'm going to put something before my eyes that'll say to me, turn aside and get me. Not today. You might have a friend that's got that. You got to have it. You and your children are attracted to the world like bees to pollen in a flowering plant or weed. Only difference in that, honey, that the world offers and what Jonathan stuck his sword into that was all over the ground there. And his eyes were enlightened and he gained strength. No, this blinds you and robs you of your strength. 1992 or 93, the big WWW came out. And since that day, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, somebody had to tell me about that this week. I didn't know that you had to send a picture of you with the message you were sending. I got to get up on the times, haven't I? But all these things, like a giant magnet, they're pulling everybody into them. And most that pick them up didn't mean for them to have that power and control over them. They didn't mean to be ensnared that quickly. Now, I've got a couple or three friends that used these as a means of getting out the gospel. But after that, they put it down. But here you are, most likely. I'll just check one thing. And before you know it, you've checked a dozen things. there's a good possibility that the first thing you look at in the morning when you get up is your phone or your tablet. How many views on your post? How many replies to your post? And you get caught up in that that you didn't mean to, and by the time you finish, you don't have time for the closet or time for a devotion. And the greater percentage of people, their lives are molded and governed by the world as much as an alcoholic is governed and controlled by alcohol. Your coworkers, the public around you, their opinions, far greater than how God looks at you. And the dollar controls and speaks so loudly that God does not have a voice to you anymore. And that which your mind absorbs, that is, takes in and soaks up, brings you into captivity as great as if you were locked behind iron bars. And you're sitting there on the pew, not me. I'm my own person. I can put it down when I want, pick it up when I want to. No, something is molding every one of us. Something is shaping us. Is it prestige, respect, desire to be highly thought of? If not you, your children. Your activity and your involvement in the world. Your close association to it. Likeness to it has a greater control over you than the Word or your commitment to Christ. Moms and dads, what testimony do you have before your children? Every year that passes in their lives, the older they get, the less influence you have upon them. That goes for grandmothers and granddads too. For the older a tree is, the more difficult it is bend it, making it want to grow in another direction. They get to the point you can't bend or you can't shape them. And Solomon said, train up a child in the way he's to go. Proverbs 22:6. Now one last. Luke chapter 6. And this will garner tens and tens of reviews. American people aren't going to put up with such language like this. They can find preachers. Tell them with a smile, all is well. Now, folks, everybody in here, you're focused with one of two worlds. Luke 6:26. Woe, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. In the world here, I'll group in with that the religious world. Though there is a difference, it's not much between the world and these harlot houses. The difference between the world, and men that will not be honest with your soul, there's not that great a difference. But for the time being, I'll list the world here and the world above. One of the two has not no middle ground. One of the two has control and influence. Both are drawing you. No, both are drawing their crowds into the church. It's a small number. But it's drawing God's people into conformity. The world's drawing you. The world's telling you how you're supposed to think, how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to wear, how you manage everything in this world. Family, mate. But each is doing it by small degrees, almost unnoticed and unobservable. For if you sitting here could see the end result as to what you will be and where you will be, it might catch your attention. But you can't see out into the future. I think it was Mr. Spurgeon telling his preacher boys about a pastor here in America in the 1800s. And on his dying bed, and he said to his friend there, "Oh, if I could go back and I could preach, I could tell them about eternity. For I peered over in that." Well, folk, if you've got the book and you got the Spirit of God, you've been given a small, small picture. You've looked into heaven. But if heaven is not drawing you, then the world is. And as I told you, I'll include religion in that world. You young folks ought to run from that like you would a rattlesnake. If you could see, you'd flee. If you could see the harm that the world will do for you by the time you're 50 years old or 60, you'd run as fast as Christian did from the city of destruction. But many have been caught in its net and so controlled by it, there's no hope. They've swallowed it, hook, line, sinker. Well, preacher, you're limiting God when you say there is no hope. No, I'm not. But I'm saying that folk can continually run past warning signs that God has placed along the road in their lives. They keep running past them until God says, "Just go and have it your way. You wouldn't listen to my warnings. You're in control of your life." And the world here below, both material and religious, And you moms, would you please have a word with your children about religion? World here, material and religious, is equally dangerous, because once you're caught in them, there is no escape. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone, is what God said about him. You remember Ephraim? One of the boys born to Joseph's wife when he was down in Egypt. He called that second son Ephraim. That name means God has made me forget all my toil. And all God had done for Ephraim, that lovely feminine character, had been lost. Now all that Ephraim is that old hardened masculine gender. And you don't have to be a male to have that. I assure you that. And when you get there, God said, let him alone. She heeded no warnings. He would not be warned. And folk, your conformity to this old world here below, it's as slow as water turning to ice. You don't stand there and watch it. You don't see it. You just know it's going to happen if water's in the freezer. And the degrees by which the world is grabbing you will be something like a moth flying around a spider's web. Gets one wing caught, and in struggling to get away, the entire body is captured. Taste the world. Got a sweet taste, young folks. Lovely. Lovely out there. Got a lot to offer you. If you don't hear God, you'll get to the place where you remain in the company of worldly people, religious people, and your dress and your language and your actions will become such that there's not a bit of difference in you and the world. Young folk, Satan is a master at deception. One little bite, man is plunged into death. One little coat, and an entire family wiped out. One little sin, pride, and that bright, shiny Lucifer, one little sin, is cast out of heaven. And if the attraction of the world was in any way other than one little step, one little outfit, one little word, anything other than a little step, if the magnitude of conformity to the world could be set before you, and what it's going to do to you. There was a young lady about 3 or 4 grades ahead of me. Beautiful young lady. And I was behind one day in the line getting groceries. And the cashier said, "You've got the loveliest skin and complexion. What do you do?" And she said, "I don't use any soap. Nothing like that touches my face." Before she was 40, she looked 60 and died an alcoholic's death. One little step, one somebody bragging on you, one little party that you shouldn't have been. If you can see the danger in these things, in that web that Satan has built out there, you'd run. And if the magnitude and the glory of the world above was set before you, from where you are now and the distance in getting there, and the degree of a holy life, where you end up in the exact image of the Lord Jesus, that would be so great, you would give up and make no effort. But don't give up. Just one little step at a time, child of God. And you unconverted, just one little step at a time, if you don't get a correct path, it's going to destroy you.